Hey guys, this week's episode is brought to you by
Nobody.
Nobody. Us, I guess.
Yeah, it's brought to you by John and Sherry.
In the living room. And we just wanted to say thank you guys for listening. We thought since this is the last episode before Christmas, we could just freeze for a second and tell you how much you mean to us and how much we appreciate you guys listening to our podcast. Without you guys, there would be no podcast. Yeah,
no listeners, no podcast. No us sitting, talking into a microphone, looking at each other.
No more baby chair for John. I don't know. It has pros and cons.
So thank you guys so much for listening. And I guess let's start the episode. I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Well, Christmas is upon us, guys, but we just had to share a few beach house milestones, including one that ended with me running around, screaming, without any clothes on, plus a triumphant return of everyone's favorite segment. So things are happening at the beach house, like rapid fire, like so fast that it's not even that easy to keep up with the podcast and sharing it with you guys, because by the time you hear one, something else has happened. We spent this weekend, last weekend, at the time we're recording this. I think it's going to be 2 weekends ago when you're hearing it.
We're getting lost in the timeline. Just know we were there recently, guys. We're
always there. We're driving back and forth all the time with a car full of stuff. And the last time we were there, so many amazing things happened kind of all at once that I felt like tidal waves of excitement were like washing over me.
I'm just saying the washing pun because
washing. Well, one has to do with
washing machine.
One had to do with water. Yes. Also, guys, I attempted to take a bath, which if you've listened to this podcast, you know that that doesn't come naturally to me. I'm not good at getting the water temperature right. I forgot to offset the weight of my body and almost overflowed the tub the first time. And so now I am good at taking baths in my own house, but the beach house is a different animal.
Because I think you haven't established that this was the first weekend we could do it. Like the tub was finally hooked up.
Yes, so many things happened rapid fire. We got a counter in the kitchen installed, which meant we got a sink installed finally and a faucet, which is like amazing. Anyone who has a kitchen reno, you miss your stove, you miss your fridge, you miss your sink the most.
Yeah.
So to have a kitchen sink with running water, a disposer, a place to put the dishes, a place to even use dishes, we brought all silverware and plates and cups to the beach house, put them in cabinets. It was like moving in day, that day when you can use the dishwasher and do a load of laundry and just like all the things you are waiting to do, it's finally happening.
Yeah, it felt like the house was actually functioning as a house almost completely. I mean, there were things like I was still installing toe kicks on the kitchen and some of the countertops, like the butcher block countertops, are still not attached.
Right. We get to drill them in at some point.
Maybe they will just stay laying there.
No, I think we should attach them eventually.
Held down by their own weight forever. It's really great for renters. But anyways, yeah, we had the plumber come out just actually the day before we arrived that weekend because he could finally hook up the sink and the disposer and the dishwasher. And while he was there, he did the finishing touches on the bathtub.
Right. Because the bathtub had been mostly hooked up, but because of the floor, I think, what was it? It was the
Quarter round had to be installed. And so they had to move the tub slightly to get themselves back there to nail it in. So, you know, it's like one thing requires another thing to happen. It's like all these tiered steps. And so we finally got to like the actual water could be hooked up on the tub.
Right. So the tub is all hooked up and I'm like, you know, it's my duty to test the tub because I need to make sure that the bath works. You know, we ran the dishes to make sure the dishwasher worked. We did laundry to make sure the laundry worked. It was like troubleshooting, but also enjoying the house. And so I was like, I'm going to take a bath. Due diligence. I will soak for a good hour. And so I pulled the hot water on. I wait an hour for it to fill because it's literally like 100 gallons. And then I, in order to make the water worth it, I soak in it forever. And then I even had a plan to let the kids take their own baths in it afterwards because, you know, it gets cooler and cooler and I get out and then they get in and it's the right temperature for them.
You know, make sure that they can just sort of like wallow in your film.
Listen, I'm already clean. The bath was just for a testing measure. It was not for actual cleanliness. So I got in the tub. I had made sure to account for my body mass so I didn't overflow it or anything. And speaking of waves of gratitude, like I was laying in the tub thinking like, we have made it. The marathon is over. I am sitting in the tub. I was looking up at the ceiling and I was thinking in my head, this ceiling had collapsed when we bought this house. I could see the sky if I were to lay in the tub when we bought this house, except we didn't trust the floor to not collapse.
I was going
to
say, you probably would be in the tub and then you'd be on the first floor underneath.
Right. The tub was sinking into the floor as if it was about to fall onto the first floor. And so I was just overcome, like almost sobbing because I couldn't believe that I was soaking in this beautiful tub and this beautiful bathroom and this beautiful house. Gratitude, gratitude. And then I was like, you know what I'm not doing? My job, which is to make sure that the tub's not leaking. So I'm like, whatever, you're being paranoid, Sherry.
Everyone and knows where this is going by now.
You can hear where I'm building up to, right? So I put my foot out on the towel and I'm like, weird, why is the towel wet? Maybe I did splash when I was getting in and I didn't like realize my body mass was bigger than I thought and like a wave came out over the side, but I didn't see it. And then I was like, oh no, there's like 2 inches of standing water under the tub.
I don't think it was 2 inches.
It was like a glossy ice skating rink on top of the tile. And then I panicked, like naked lady in the bathroom, grabbing towels, screaming things like, it's an emergency. Of course, John is gone. John had gone to the hardware store at this exact moment. And so I'm alone. You know, the kids are in the other room playing a game with each other. They know mommy's in the bathtub. And I'm suddenly shrieking like, get me towels. And it's like a 4-alarm fire, except it's a tub leak. And I'm stuffing towels under it. I take out my phone. I thought pretty smartly in the middle of the panic. And I took a video so I could show the plumber where it was leaking. So the exact part of the pipe that was gushing water.
And as long as you didn't accidentally put it on selfie mode.
Yeah, I did not. I hope there was not a naked reflection of myself in the pipe. I did not think about that. So basically, I was floundering around in the bathroom trying to solve this. The good news is it was not enough water to seep in and flood the pantry below. Like, it did not come through the drywall.
No, I don't think it was a glossy layer, but it was not really that bad because the leak itself was a pretty minor
drip. It was a fast drip.
Minor drip.
Like, this is the meter. Ready? Bloop, 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 bloop. So it wasn't like a slow leak that was like, nyerp, nyerp.
Or a full gush.
Right. It wasn't like when you leave the faucet on, kind of, and you hear a drip every 30 seconds. It was like a bloop, 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 bloop. And I fully drained the tub. And once I got the pipe emptied out, it was just a very slow drip until that eventually stopped. So I put like a plate under it and caught the rest. So at this point, there's no impending danger, except I can't take any more baths until we're certain it's solved. But I did send the video to the plumber and kind of pointed with little arrows on top of the pictures I took because there was like a gasket that was kind of loose and also the pipe was dripping. So he's going back this week, but I was happy that I at least caught it,
yes,
right?
Yes, thank you for catching it before we went there for any longer. Before it was like Christmas time, we couldn't get him out there again.
Exactly. Or imagine we had like renters and they like were freaking out naked like I was. Like, yes. I'm glad I was the one in a blind panic and not anyone else.
They would have been the nude people screaming about a leak.
Emergency! What it really taught me about myself is that I'm cool and collected under pressure. I was A, screaming. B, didn't put any clothes on. C, John came home. I was downstairs, still naked, holding up towels as I put them in the washer, saying, we had a leak. We had a leak.
All I can say, guys, is thank goodness we put in blinds a couple weeks ago. Well, the thing that Sherry's also leaving out is one of the reasons we do make these visits to Cape Charles, in addition to getting stuff done on the house, is to actually kind of like enjoy the town. Because what we're learning now that this is kind of our first off season of actually being able to stay there is that there's actually still stuff to do. Because we should reiterate, like, this is a very small town. So like, you at first glance think there's not a whole lot going on. Like, it's a very sleepy, quiet, chill beach town. So it's always a pleasant surprise. And we're like, oh, there's activities and things to do and like reasons to get out of the house. So we had gone this particular weekend because there was an event going on called the Cape Charles Holiday Cookie Tour. And basically a bunch of the bed and breakfasts open up for the holidays so people can come in and tour and see all of their Christmas decorations, and some private residences open as well. And the reason why it's a cookie tour is because every house bakes a different type of cookie and you get to sample them and vote on your favorite.
Yeah, there's like a taste test and we took it seriously. Like, we were taking notes. Like, did we like the shortbread or the peanut butter balls? It was a lot of fun.
Obviously the kids wanted the cookie part.
Right. The kids were really into it because, like, to the point where I was like, is this Christmas preview? Because they, like, almost couldn't sleep the night before. And I was like, guys, it's just cookies. But they were so thrilled. Like,
it's really a historic house tour disguised as eating cookies.
Right. Like, the kids get cookies and we get to look at all the houses. And the cool thing to me was that a lot of the houses on the tour, aside from these gorgeous big bed and breakfasts, you know, with their original stained glass and beautiful railings, and most of them have a third floor and they're just grand, there were these normal homes that opened up. But they always were like regular residences with a really interesting twist. Like, one of them was a Sears kit house, which was amazing. I don't think we've ever been inside of a kit house.
No.
So it was really cool to see that. For anyone who doesn't know what those are, we'll put a link in the show notes to explain it. But they're basically houses that came in pieces in a box and someone assembled them on the site.
I was going to say you could order them online, but I don't think online was a thing. I think it was a catalog.
Right. I think it was Sears catalog, and that's why they're called Sears kit homes. And there also was this 900 square foot bungalow, and it was all smart controlled, which John and the children loved.
Yes.
Because they said things like, turn the lights from red to green. And all the lights in the house turned from red to green. And like, our son was literally like, Like, it was like magic for the children.
Well, now that they kind of understand the language of the Amazon Echo, they were so amazed by it. And of course, now probably want us to get the colored Philips Hue bulbs. But anyways, back to this house. It was really cool because it was a new construction. Actually, we learned later that our contractor did the construction of it. And it was this tiny house that this one guy lived in by himself. His daughter was the architect. And there were just really cool reclaimed wood, some smart features of making this footprint work for him. And again, this the smart things that he had incorporated, like he had special lights down his hallway that I guess were motion activated. And so as he walked down the hall, the lights would turn on and off to stay with him.
It was really cool. And also one great thing about peeking in other homes is that we got ideas for ours, which, you know, always happens when we go to like show homes. So I'm so glad we did this cookie tour because it was essentially the same thing, but they were an all new build. So some of these historic houses just had features like our house, and it was cool to just see how people dealt with them. There was a railing that was made with twine that kind of looked like sort of
almost
nautical.
Like nautical rope. Yeah,
there was a really cool elevated outdoor shower that we think might work with our house, because where the steps go up, you wouldn't want to be looking down at the shower. You could peek on the person who's in there. So we're thinking about how to make it private, and then to see the shower raised up on the same level as the stairs was really cool, because then no one would peek down in there. So it just was full of cookies, full of cider, full of hot chocolate, and full of ideas.
And we did take some pictures along the way, so I'll put some of them in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast so you can see some of it. There was even a pink house with a pink door.
That music means I have a quick tip for you guys, and it's actually something that we get asked maybe 5 times a week. Like, it's a frequently asked email/DM question.
I have no idea what this is. Sherry has not warned me.
There's buildup. Ready? Please address how you mix wood tones in a room. And I think some people, even when they write to me, say, like, you're not supposed to do a big matching set of bedroom furniture anymore. Everyone likes that more eclectic look of mixed and matched tones. How do I do it? And the funny thing is that a lot of people reference, you talked about mixing metals, but what's your advice with wood? But it's essentially the exact same advice. To me, if you're going to have two wood tones going on, make sure each tone appears a few times in the room so that it looks intentional. If you only had one dark TV cabinet and the rest of the tones in the room were light wood, it might look like the TV cabinet is on its way out, or it didn't match anything, or it's a hand-me-down. Like, it looks out of line with the rest of the woods in the room.
And I think the thing that's important to remember, especially when it comes to wood, is it's not just about furniture. You can get wood tones in a lot of things, like blinds. We even have a basket that's not technically wood, but it has that same kind of natural look. And also just small accessories like a box or even a drawer pull. There's lots of places where you can get little hits of a wood tone someplace.
Exactly. A wood tray on the coffee table, a wood frame on the wall.
A peg leg.
A wooden bust of your face.
You cannot top peg leg. Joke ends there, Sherry.
You could just get a full pirate, which would definitely top peg leg, right?
There's Sherry's quick tip. Just get a pirate.
A pirate makes everything cooler. Also mermaids. Everyone loves a mermaid.
It's not too late to put on your Christmas list, guys.
Just like have a pirate laying under the tree. What will your kids do? They will explode with joy if they come downstairs and a live pirate is under the tree.
Unless his wooden peg leg clashes with the rest of the tones in the room.
Right. It's like you need to make sure he's cohesive before inviting him in.
Exactly.
Good design advice on this podcast, you guys.
Well, we're actually going to mix things up and dive into We're Digging a little bit earlier in this episode than usual.
Yeah, because we have something special for you guys at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that. But first, let's go through what we're digging. So this week, what I'm digging are these specific window candles that I'm obsessed with. And I think we mentioned them last year when we bought them for our house, but I'm bringing them back up again because we've used them for a year, brought them out again this year, and got them for the beach house. So yeah. The newest addition is we bought 5 for the front windows of the beach house, put them in the windows, hung a wreath on the door. The whole house looks like somebody lives there now, because the coolest thing about these lights is they're on an automatic timer and they go on and off. Basically, I think we set ours to like 4:30 until like 10 or something.
Yeah, I realized we should have mentioned this last week when we were talking about all those automated lights. But one thing we did last year to help our Christmas decorations be more autopilot was we replaced all of our plug-in window candles. You know, those pretty little candles you see from the front of a house. There's no actual flame. It's a light bulb. But we used to have to go around and unplug or switch them off every evening.
After like falling asleep on the couch watching Walking Dead or whatever, we'd have to like wake ourselves up, rally ourselves to go to every window, you know, be like, I'll get the left side, you get the right side. Yeah. It was like a marathon every night.
Kind of made me resent the holiday decorations a little bit. But these, basically all you do, they're LED and they're Street side bright is what they're called. So the LED actually points outward, so there's less light leak into your own windows. I mean, there still is. I'm not going to lie and pretend like it's dark on that side.
Right, but they're like 100 times brighter in the front. You can tell if one's turned and shining in, and you're like, ooh, that's supposed to face the outside.
And as soon as you twist them on, they stay on for, I think it's 4 or 6 hours. And then they just run on an automatic 24-hour cycle. So just make sure that first time you place them in your windows, you twist them on at the time you want them to go on. So like if you're setting them up in the morning at 8, don't actually twist them on till it gets dark. And then that same 24-hour cycle will repeat until you take them down for the year.
And that's what's so cool at the beach house. We're not having to go to every window and turn them off. We're not having to leave them on full time. Like, they just are autopilot completely.
Yeah, especially for all the days that we're not actually there.
Yeah, I just think it was surprising how easy it was to take that house from looking abandoned. Nobody lives here. There's no landscaping. There's a mud pit out front, to like still no landscaping, but now it looks like somebody lives there because there's like lights in the windows and a glow in the front porch and a wreath.
So we'll put links to them in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast. They aren't inexpensive. I think they're like $10 or $11 each, but for me, they are paying for themselves like 20-fold.
They're so worth it. And the fact that they're LEDs, the bulbs should last forever. You do occasionally have to change the batteries. I think out of 12 or 15 that we've owned, we had to change the batteries in one of them so far after over a year. So it's not terrible. It's not like they all fail right away. And they're like just double A's. They're not like big D batteries or anything crazy.
And what I'm digging this week is something you guys have probably heard of, but there's a special reason why I'm digging it right now. And it is Spotify. It is a streaming music service that I switched over to years ago. I used to be a Pandora listener. You know, Pandora is that kind of internet radio where you pick like a station or a genre and it just kind of randomly plays songs for you. And the reason I switched over to Spotify is because on Spotify, you can actually like choose the exact song or exact album that you want to play. And so it's basically like you own this huge library of songs, kind of like I'm sure you can do with like Apple Music and Amazon Music these days. But I got started on Spotify years ago and have not looked back because I love it so much. I can make running playlists for it. And I also can rely on some of their stations. They do have random kind of playlists that are customized to your listening habits so that you get this, what I think is perfect sort of balance of, I can get random music when I want to kind of like discover new songs, or I can play exactly what I want to hear at that moment.
I think the reason you like it is because John was one of those people who had like a CD binder full of CDs and he would like flip through it and find the album he wanted.
I still have it somewhere.
I think I made you get rid of it in like house number two. Eventually I was like, John, you're not touching these.
That's true.
We don't even have a CD player in our house at all. But essentially what Spotify is a big CD collection that you don't have to store anywhere. So John can just go on and get any album. Is there a small fee?
There is a fee for the premium, which I have, which is the ad-free. And it is $9.99 a month. They were running a deal recently that if you signed up now and paid for the year, you could get it for just $100 for the year. So it saves you about $20 for the year. And we use it all the time, especially now that we have the Echo, because you can play Spotify through the Echo. Like if I tell her a song, it automatically plays it from Spotify because I was able to set that as my default.
My proudest moment as a parent was when my daughter said, I have three favorites. My favorite band is the Beatles. My favorite rapper is Missy Elliott. And my favorite singer is Katy Perry. And I was like, this is very cute that she's starting to curate favorites, because she's always saying, Alexa, play this. Alexa, play that.
Shh. Okay, but I told everyone I was going to say why I was digging this right now.
This week's episode is brought.
Our Echo just started playing our podcast.
Which we never listened to, so why it's playing,
guys,
I have no idea.
The jig is up. We just use our Echo to play our own voices 24/7.
Why would it play that? Oh, you were playing it on your phone. It's probably starting it off your phone. John went back to listen to something we had said, and now it's playing in the kitchen.
Alexa, stop.
That was the most meta podcast recording of another podcast playing in the background that I've ever heard.
I hope everyone could hear that. Anyways, the reason I'm digging Spotify right now is because we are on Spotify. Young House Love Has a Podcast is finally on Spotify.
After years of trying.
Well, not years.
Over
of trying,
a year.
Months of trying. Spotify added podcasts several months ago, or I think actually around the time we started this show.
So over a year ago, they added them and we tried to get added and they were like, no, thank you.
I think it was a slow rollout for them, but we finally got ourselves on there. So if you guys are a Spotify user, new or old, you can now search Young House Love Has a Podcast and play us right from there. Oh, But we have our special segment, Sherry.
This is a very special segment, you guys.
We felt like it was the perfect way to end the year because we're going to take next week off because next week is Christmas. We will be back in 2 weeks on January 1st to kick off 2018 with you guys.
New year, new you, same Young House Love Has a Podcast in your ear. Well, new shows, but still me and John in the living room.
Yeah, we're just going to be replaying all the 2017 episodes.
No, we will never do that to you. It's going to be new shows for, is it the it starts on the 1st?
Yeah, January 1st is a Monday.
So we're taking off next week, but trust me, you will not even feel it because we're about to give you a special audio treat.
It's a revisiting of everybody's favorite discovery of this past year, which was Drunk House Love, which is where we learned that if you listen to our podcast on half speed, it sounds like we had a little bit too much eggnog.
Way too much eggnog.
So without further ado, we present to you guys from episode number 74, A Fight About the Fridge, now as a drunken fight about a fridge.
This is the behind the scenes. Picture me pulling the curtain back and revealing John and I screaming at each other. I was the entire time saying, can we put the fridge anywhere else?
And I was like, I don't know what else to do with it.
And I remember saying, I don't think that's the best spot for the fridge. And you saying, well, then figure out another spot for it, because there isn't one.
I was like, well, then you do it.
Guys, remember how I said I can call things? I call the end of movies. I call what John's gonna order. I called the fridge thing.
You called that you were right all along. Well, I didn't think it looked bad at first. I was like, you know what?
Well, wait, you have to explain what we did. So we mocked it up with cardboard. Like, it would completely block.
My argument this whole time before we mocked it up was that you're just not used to it. It'll be okay, and I will be right. Finally, it was one.
Then there was silence.
Yeah.
We're both mulling it over.
I'm going to put together a different cabinet then.
I'm going to work over here with my Allen wrench.
I'm moving on. And so once we both said, what if that's a pantry? Suddenly it was like the whole stress of the situation alleviated.
Then we were laughing. We were making cabinets together again. Right. It was all good in the kitchen. Right.
The marriage was saved.
Happy holidays, guys. We know that you've got presents to wrap and family to host and food to stuff into your food hole, so we wanted to keep this week's episode short and sweet.
Yeah, and remember, next week we're off for Christmas, but we'll be back in 2 weeks on the 1st, as in January 1st, 2018. That still sounds weird to say.
Yeah, and keep telling us what you do while you listen. Like Donna on Instagram, who didn't listen while secretly picking up a surprise donut breakfast for her kids, but her elf on the shelf did.
Oh. And as much as we want you guys to check out the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast, what we really want you guys to do is have a great holiday break.
Yes, have fun, be safe, go easy on the eggnog.
Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. Happy holidays, nope, that's the wrong way. Happy holiday. Why is it so?
It's a tough phrase. You only break it out like 1/12 of the year, so I'm sure you're rusty.
I'm all hip. Hop, a hippie to the hippie to the hip hip holidays don't stop. The rockin' to the bang bang boogie. Upchuck the boogie to the, is it upchuck the boogie? I feel like it's not. Up jump the boogie?
Probably.
Not upchuck.
So that's a gross boogie.